Lord God, I give again, thank you for this opportunity to come together with your people, Lord, and stand before your people and open your word, Lord. I pray that the word spoken tonight would be yours. The heart revealed tonight would be yours, not mine. And Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit right now would just descend on this group, that we would be covered, Lord, that we'd be covered, that hearts would be opened and minds would be free, Lord. And I just pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. It's funny, fear will flee at the sound of his name. Tonight, why are we afraid? And we all are at some point in time. For various reasons, depending on our situation and our circumstances. Because we have a fear of inadequacy, inability to perform a task that we were given, a fear of failure, a fear of rejection. And we all remember the story, if you will, of Moses at the burning bush in the book of Exodus. And God came down and appeared before Moses in a burning bush. And he told Moses he was going to send him to Pharaoh to bring the people from Egypt. So what was Moses' response? Praise you, God. I'm going to go. I'll go for you. I'm ready. No. He was afraid. Moses' response was, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? In other words, who am I? I'm inadequate. But he refused to accept at that point that God is not inadequate. But Moses was fearful, as we are fearful. And God told Moses, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent to you, that I have sent you, when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they will say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. Again, Moses takes the attitude, well, I need more information before I can really decide if I want to go. You haven't given me all the details. I'm not sure how I'm going to do this. How they don't know who you are. They don't know what your name is. And on he goes. Again, he doubts the power of God. So I say, why are we afraid? And today, we're no different than Moses was, and he's no different than we are today. And we look at today, and we look at the uncertainty and the change around us right now. And it has been going on for a while, but it now is accelerating at an unbelievable rate, not only in the world, but in our nation. And we see the social upheaval. Our political system is, to put it mildly, dysfunctional. We see a cultural and moral implosion, where everything now is good. Evil is called good. Good is called evil. And we live in an upside-down world. And obviously, this can be quite distressing to us as Christians and to even those who are not saved. They know something's going on. And it can be frightening. But our text tonight is going to be Isaiah 41:10 and Isaiah 41:13. And, you know, the common thread through the Bible of fear in 365 Bible verses, God talks to us about fear. You know, he even knows us pretty well because he picked one for every day of our year. 365 verses in the Bible speak of fear. Isaiah says, fear not, for I am with you. Remember back in Exodus, he is the I am. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Yet no matter what we go through in life, God is there. He never leaves us. We might feel weak, but in God we have strength. As in verse 10 says, for I am your God, I will strengthen you. So God commands us to fear not. And not just sometimes, he says, fear not, like in the song sang tonight. Fear will flee at the sound of his name. And we're going to face innumerable situations in our lives that are going to be fearful to us. Jesus warns us that we will have trials and tribulations in our life. We're not going to have a clear road because we've accepted him as Savior that we have no problems. No, that's not the case. Jesus said we will have problems. Look at the disciples when they walked with Jesus. Physically witnessed the miracles he performed. Raising of the dead, the feeding of the 5,000, feeding of the 4,000, the calming of the storm, on and on and on. John says if all the miracles were in a book, the book couldn't contain them. And they witnessed all these things. But yet, as they crossed the Sea of Galilee in a storm, they were in the wilderness with the people that were hungry. In each case, they feared and had doubt because they were relying on their human resources. And when they sailed across the lake, they were afraid they were going to drown. But yet, the creator of the universe was in the boat with them. But they refused or were unable to believe that Christ could do what Christ said he can do. Even though they had witnessed it, they still reverted back to their flesh, their carnal, if you will, fears, doubting what God could do. And we do the same thing. They witnessed Christ perform the miracles. We read about what Christ, and by faith we believe that he did the miracles. They actually witnessed it and they doubted it. But fear strikes us when our resources are depleted because we, and we all do it, are no longer in control. We want to be control people. I'm a retired cop. I retired many years ago. And I was a control person because that's what I did. As a police officer, you end up, you know, you have to control people at times. So you take that into your life. It becomes who you are. And when I gave my heart to Christ back in 1980, it was tough because I'm not in control anymore. He is. God controls my life. I belong to him. He doesn't belong to me. He is my God. But he owns me. So when we look at when we are no longer in control, with us we look at I've exhausted my strength, my bank account's empty, my schemes and methods have failed, and I'm still in a mess. And it all boils down to pride, the pride of self-sufficiency, because we hate to give up that control that we think we have over our lives. God allows things to happen to us in our life, many times to test us. But nonetheless, he is in control, not us. But we have to allow him to impact our lives. Psalm 46, 1 through 3 tells us, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and through the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. What the verse is describing is at that time is unbelievable that it could even happen. But what God is saying here is that even in the midst of a situation beyond your imagination that you've never seen before, even in the midst of that, I will be with you. No matter what we're going through, He will help us and carry us through it. God, you can look at Him as an impenetrable defense. There is nothing on this earth that can get through Him to you unless He allows it for your good. And we'll get into that later. That's sometimes hard to understand. But God is our refuge over anything real or imagined. Because some of our fears can be based on a real situation in our life, but they can also be based on what might happen. And that's one of our biggest problems is maybe it hasn't happened yet, but we're worried and fearful that it will. And we can't trust God. In Psalm 34:4, it says, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. This is an important verse in that I sought the Lord. If we allow our fears and our trials that we will encounter to run our lives, they're only going to lead us farther from God. They will never lead us to God. It's the work of the flesh, and when we try to solve our problems ourselves without God, we're going to fail. So we have to seek the Lord in all situations. Again, I sought the Lord. The Lord is there. He will never leave us. But the Lord will not force Himself on you. You have to seek the Lord. He has His promises. His promises are in the Scriptures. And every one of those promises are to each one of us here that have accepted Him as Lord and Savior. And He was there to give you those promises, to fulfill His word, but we have to seek Him too. Again, God says, fear not, for I am with you. And secondly, God commands us to be not dismayed, which is troubled and distressed. As I said earlier, we're going to face confusing situations and circumstances as we go through life. Things are going to happen to us that we can't figure out, that there's no apparent reason for. We might lose our job unfairly or beyond our comprehension to understand why. A loved one may become ill, very ill. Then a loved one may die. And the first thing we do is we cry out, why, God? Why did you do that to me? Haven't I been good? What did I do to deserve this? And it's hard for us to understand, but the more we try to reason some of these things out of what happens to us, the more confused we generally become. Because we are dealing in the flesh, not the spirit. And yet the Lord tells us to be not dismayed. We need to quit trying to figure everything out. Right? And I call it, oh, we, including me, of little faith, because we all do it. We all do it. It's not necessary to understand God's ways, because His ways, as Scripture says, are not our ways. We have a tendency to put God in a little container that matches our impression or our idea of God. But God can't be put in a box. God is God. He created the universe. He created the heavens and the earth. He created us. He created everything we see. And you can't put Him in a little box saying, well, God could fix this, but I know He can't fix that. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And when something happens to us and we read that, the first response that we normally have is, Well, it's not going to be, this can't be good for me, or this isn't going to work out for good. God doesn't know about what's going on with me. He doesn't understand. Yes, he does. But again, we have to let him. We have to give him ourself. And we do find it hard to rest in faith. Because that's what I'm really talking about here is faith. We have to have faith in God and the words that he gave us and his promises that he gave us. But we always seek to understand why. And there are some things we'll never understand this side of heaven. It's like trying to understand the Trinity. Three in one, one God. But again, God's ways are not our ways. So when he allows something to happen to us, we don't know what the future holds. That very thing he allowed to happen to us at that time may feel so unfair and so burdensome to us, but yet, a couple years down the road, all God was doing is preparing you for something that was coming down the road that you couldn't see, that you would be able to handle. My wife, and I know she doesn't want me to bring it up, has cancer, lung cancer. You know, and we've been through a lot in the years we've been married. And she's had cancer in the past, 5, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, to cancer. But, you know, and what we went through then, it's like, God, why? But, you know, God used that to strengthen us for what we have to go through now. She starts chemo Monday. You know, but God has strengthened us, and he's given us a peace that it's that peace that's beyond understanding. We have that. Both of us do. But everything that's happened in the past, God has used it for good so that we can get through with what we have to get through and trust him. No matter what happens, God is good all the time. It's easy to say God is good when things are good, but when your world turns to black, God is still good, and we have to know that. So we see God is working, you know, in our lives, but we don't understand why. But we have to understand God is working with eternal values. We're looking with blinders on at a fleshly existence in this world. God is looking at everything. He's omnipresent, he's omniscient, he knows exactly what's going to happen to you and me tomorrow and 10 years from now and 30 years from now if we live that long. But he knows. So everything that we go through, he's preparing us down the road. And again, I say faith, because faith is the ultimate answer. Without faith, we can never find true rest in God. You can't do it. You can't do it of your own power. You can't do it by what you do, your works. You got to have faith. What does the Bible say? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And without faith, it's impossible to accept what he's given us. Just like on the cross, when Christ died for us on the cross, by faith we believe. And by faith we're saved, by his grace. But without faith, what do you have? You have nothing. John 14:27. Jesus tells the disciples, he's getting ready to leave and go to his Father. And Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus knew the disciples just as he knows us. And he knows that when he leaves and goes to the Father, he's promised them to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, which fell on the day of Pentecost, but he knew that they would be afraid. Because after his crucifixion, what did they do? They ran and hid in their apartment, in their house, with the doors locked behind them. So he knew that they were going to be afraid, and he was trying to prepare them for that eventuality, because he knew what they were going to do. God is not surprised. He didn't say, boy, I didn't know they were going to go hide. No, he knew exactly what they were going to do, and he was preparing them for that eventuality. Because, again, Jesus was about to go to his Father, and he added, my peace to his farewell for them. And this is a special peace that can only come from him. And I spoke of that peace that my wife and I have. The peace that Christ gives banishes fear and dread from our hearts. The peace that Christ gives banishes fear and dread from our hearts. And believe me, her and I know what fear and dread is. We know it well. But the peace that Jesus gives banishes that. Can I say, well, then everything's hunky-dory and you're happy and yada, yada? No. But God gives you the peace to get through it. If he doesn't take it away, which he can, but if he chooses not to, he also has a purpose. This life here is but a vapor. So as my wife and I have spoken, if what she has to go through results in one person seeing what she's doing in her testimony, and they accept Christ, then anything she goes through gives God glory. Because that's what we're here for. We're here to give God glory. It's not about we're here to buy cars and houses and have fun. We're here to give God glory. And whatever that requires, give him the glory. The world that we live in cannot give this peace. It cannot. People who don't know Jesus, and some that do, when something happens that they can't handle, they can't fix, they turn to the world for peace. The world gives you diversion, and whatever diversion you want to go to, the world's got it. But after that, it can only give you grief and pain, nothing else. And then you go seek some other diversion that's maybe a little bit better. So we're probably the biggest drug-induced culture on the planet, because that's a diversion. If you get stoned enough, you can get through anything. Except next time you need more, and then you need more. So then all you end up with is a broken heart, a broken body, a broken mind, and grief. Nothing more. So our peace, as I said earlier, it starts at the cross when we were saved. We receive that inward peace that can only come from being reconciled to God. That's where it started. Because we cannot have that peace and not be reconciled to God. We can't have that peace and not be saved, because it's peace that Jesus gives to those that know him, to those who are his. And if you're saved, you're his. And the peace that Jesus gives, of course, is forever. It never ends. And again, we only have to have the faith to accept it. And trust God's word. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 tells us, let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear, what can man do to me? If we have Christ and we have trust in him, we don't have to fear rejection or ridicule like Moses did, or the rejection and ridicule that stops so many from witnessing for Jesus, that stops so many from living outwardly that Christian lifestyle, because they don't want to be criticized by their neighbor, they don't want to be whatever it is. But that's what stops people. Trust Jesus. And that quotation that in Hebrews is probably one of the most emphatic statements in the New Testament. In the Greek, it contains two double negatives, and in English, it means, I will never, ever, ever forsake you. You're not going to get that on earth with one person to another. I can guarantee that right now, because we're all fallible and we all make mistakes. Jesus is perfect. And when he says, I will never, ever, ever leave or forsake you, leaving and forsaking is turning around and walking away, regardless of what we do. That's amazing. I mean, he loves us that much that says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Now, if we treated each other the way sometimes we treat him, none of us would be talking to each other, probably. I mean, because that's who we are as people. You know, this, I shouldn't say that about this congregation, this group, because this is the most loving fellowship that I've ever been to. I've been here, 15, 16 years, honey? And I've never, ever, ever walked into a fellowship where we have such love and affection for each other. And we really do. I mean, everyone in this room, I just love them dearly. They're my brothers and my sisters. But we should be most content because we have Christ. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And with that, we should be most content. The greatest riches we can have lie in possessing him, because he said he'll never leave or forsake us. What more do we need beyond Jesus? I know we try to do it with bigger cars, bigger houses, bigger this, bigger that sometimes. But Jesus is bigger than all those things. And he will never leave you. Your house will burn down. Jesus will never leave you. That so-called best friend because this or that, he'll leave you one day. Jesus will never leave you. And thirdly, he says, I am your God and I will strengthen you. What's wonderful about God, he doesn't necessarily give us the answer, but he gives us himself. He doesn't give us, well, 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4, so you go figure it out. No, he gives himself to us. Himself, personally. God loves us that much to give him. He gave us his only begotten Son, so that we can spend eternity with him. How much less is he going to give us beyond that? God's promised, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And his promises are true. We all have had situations, friends, family members, especially family members, the closer you walk with Christ, you're probably going to lose some family members. Might have some family members that don't want to talk to you anymore. So when we have friends who let us down, just when we need them the most, and our burden becomes too heavy for us to bear, we have despair, we have no hope. Jesus tells us in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's just not a statement. It's not. That's a promise. There's absolutely no way we can sink if we hang on to Jesus Christ. I don't care what our situation is. It matters not. If we hang on to Him, stay focused on Him, we're on the rock. As Jesus said, He is the rock. He's the rock on which we must be anchored. Because if we build our house on the sand, as the Bible says, and the first time a storm comes, which is in our life, with whatever circumstances that come upon us, our house is going to fall because we have no foundation. But if our foundation is Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, who changes not, He is that rock. Because the world around us, I don't have to tell anybody what's going on. The world around us is nuts. I'm 74 years old, and I'm telling you what, if somebody would have told me 40 years ago what the world would be today, I'd have laughed at them. And this is beyond what I could imagine. And I could imagine some horrible things being a cop for 26 years, I'll tell you. they've surpassed that by a long shot. But God is the same. He never changes. He doesn't change because the social norms are changing. So we need to change the Bible so this is accepted. No, God never changes. What was sin 2,000 years ago is sin today, period, the end. And it's, you know, in terms of focusing on Jesus, we all know the story of Peter walking on the water. Jesus, the disciples were in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, a storm came up, and Jesus came to them walking on the water. And, of course, they were afraid. They thought it was a spirit. And then Jesus spoke to them, and Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water." Not a problem. So Peter, with his eyes riveted on Christ, got out of the boat, contrary to everything that we in the flesh would do, and he started walking across the water to Jesus. Of course, then the waves started to rise, the wind picked up, and what happened to Peter? He looked around and said, "Uh-oh," and he sank, and he cried out, "Lord, save me," and Lord was there, grabbed him by the hand. He took his eyes off Christ. He took his eyes off his Savior. He took his eyes off the very power that enabled him to walk on the water. And that's what happens to us. Many times we take our eyes off of Jesus because our circumstances become overwhelming to us. So we take our eyes off Him, and then all of a sudden we're engulfed in fear again because we left Jesus behind. He never left us. We just kind of walked away from Him. Isaiah 40, 28 and 29. I like this. "Have you not known? Have you not heard?" Isaiah is talking to the children of Israel. "The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. He gives, his understanding is unsearchable, and he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength." You read this verse, and "have you not known, have you not heard?" It reminds me of today when you're trying to talk to somebody, and they're like, you say, "Hello, hello." You know? It's that same idea. It's like, where you people been? I mean, God brought you out of Egypt. God split the Red Sea and you crossed on dry land. God sustained you in the wilderness with manna. "Have you not known? Have you not heard?" But, you know, to get too hard on the Israel, we're now different. We've heard and we've seen, but sometimes we still don't believe. Because God is the only resource we need, because He is always present with us. He will strengthen us so we can endure. He may not take away what we have, but He will give us the strength to endure. And if His will is that a loved one passes for whatever reason, that's His reason. I may not like it, but I'll give God glory because He had a purpose. And how do I know that some nurse or doctor or family member accepted Him as Lord and Savior because of the testimony of someone like that that's dying? When you walk into the presence of Jesus Christ after your last breath, and He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant," you realize what an impact you had on someone else's life, that basically you took them from a guaranteed eternity in hell to the guaranteed promise of eternity with Jesus Christ, even in the midst of your suffering. And that's what I'm talking about. We don't know God's ways. We don't know all the reasons He does what He does. But as I said, we will accept them no matter what they are, because He is God and I'm not. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So even when others fail us, the world fails us, people come against us, say hurtful things, do any manner of things to us, He will see us through. He gives us a sound mind, which is self-control in Him. Not self-control in me. My self-control has to come from Christ. If it comes from me, then it's a prideful thing, and I'm going to do it my way. If it comes from Jesus Christ, we'll do it His way, even if I don't understand it. I think we all remember the footprints in the sand. First time I read that after I got saved, I wept. I cried. Because in that poem, if you will, there was on a beach and there was two sets of footprints walking along. And then at one point there was only one set of footprints walking along. And when the person died and got to heaven, they asked Jesus, "Why did you leave me?" "Because you were walking with me, and then all of a sudden there was only one set of prints, and you left me." And the response was, "I never left you. When you could no longer walk, I sustained and carried you." That's our God. If that doesn't bring tears to your eyes, nothing will. But that's our God. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that this worship team praises every time they come up here. The universe that we see, the universe is the work of His hands, His fingers. He measures it with the span of His hand. He created the heavens and the earth with that same hand. He'll take care of hold of our hands, the same hand that He spread out and created the oceans and the mountains and everything we see is that same hand that'll uphold us. He knows the number of hairs on our head, each one. As in the Beatitudes, Jesus tells us, don't fear for what you're going to wear. Don't fear for what you need to eat. God knows that we have need of all these things, and He will provide for us. But we have to have faith and trust. Even when it's really, really hard, we still got to do it. I'm going to tell you it's real simple, especially with what we're going through, but I tell you what, when we did it, that peace came upon us, and I'll speak it again, it's God. Because that peace that we feel in our hearts, in our minds, can come from nowhere else. It's just God saying, I love you, and this is what I promised you. So what do we have to fear? Amen. So Lord God, again, I thank you for this opportunity to come here before your people. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that the words spoken tonight were your words, Lord, and it came from my heart, but Lord, my heart is your heart. And Lord, I pray that even if here that there's someone going through trials tonight, Lord, that need you, Lord, that needed this word, Lord, that they can take into their hearts, Lord, and turn and just give it all to you and let you, the creator of the universe, run their lives. Let Jesus carry them, Lord, as need be, Lord, but get them through whatever situation is going on, whatever this message was meant for, Lord. I pray that your hand again would be on them, would caress them, Lord, make them feel your presence, Lord, and just give them that peace that can only come from you. And I pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.